It's just a little bit loud. Well, before I get started, I wanted to just comment on a couple of things. So I really appreciate all the different ways the Lord is using people in the body here to care for other people. And it's part of the vision that I believe the Lord has for us, that we would just create here within our fellowship, for lack of a better word, an entrepreneurial spirit where people just have a desire to do things for the Lord and they step out and see how God is going to use them. And, you know, Heidi, appreciate you, you know, reaching out and having a Bible study in your apartment building. That's awesome, you know. And, you know, who knows who might get saved there. We had, you know, Tim and Lori and then the Nottinghams have opened up their home to help teach this message about intimacy and marriage. I went to the seminar. A lot of times when you think about, well, it's about intimacy, I don't need any teaching on that. Let me tell you, I went to it. I didn't think I needed any teaching on it, and I did. It was really good, and there was a lot of good content, and I'm thinking, you know, there's more to learn about how we can really become better husbands and wives. And even there were some single ladies there, I think, maybe a single man or two, I'm not sure, but learning how to prepare for that man or woman that's coming your way one day, maybe. But the, you know, God has created us to be intimate people, to learn how to have a relationship. And so the teaching was very good, and it's very broad in the sense that it's not just, you might think, well, it's about a sexual relationship. It's very, very much more broad than that. So I appreciate you bringing that to our attention, and Nottingham's opening up their home as an alternate night for people that can't do it on Saturday. So I'm not sure how that schedule is going to continue to pan out, but that was great. And the people that helped with your birthday, Aaron, you know, reached out to you. And then some guys helped Bob Gruey move the other day. He, you know, Bob just got married and moved up the street a few houses, so people helped him move. And some of the guys and girls went down to help Sheila Robinson move. I mean, it's just, there's just a lot of ways the Lord is using us, and I really appreciate all the different people and your heart to serve and to sacrifice and to show God's love. And you're welcome to our church. We're glad you want to be here. And I praise God that you feel welcome, and I hope that you'll make it part of your life and you'll grow in the Lord. And thanks for wanting to be part of us. Amen. Praise God. You can turn that down just a hair more, Jeff, if you want. Let's pray and we'll look to the Word of God. Father, I ask you this morning to open our hearts to your Word, Lord. I ask that you would just open our eyes to see Jesus more clearly. That your heart would be revealed to us, Lord. That we can just learn from the pages of the Scripture through the power of your Spirit what it means to follow you, Lord. Teach us, we ask, all of us. Prepare our hearts. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Jesus one time rebuked the Pharisees. He said to them, you know, you search the Scriptures, for in there you think you have life, but you won't come to me. And we've got to always remember that the purpose of the Word of God isn't just for us to gain knowledge, but for us to come closer to Jesus. And I hope that, you know, through the things we hear all the time, that we are drawing closer to the Lord and becoming more like Him. If you're a person who's just filling yourself up with knowledge but never walking in the things that He's calling us to walk in, Jesus says we're deceiving ourselves. He says we're building our house on the sand. So I'm going to talk today about the message today is called Impossible Love. Because when we read about this, what Jesus is calling us to, in a natural sense, seems impossible. But I want you to say, Lord, if this seems impossible to me, and if I kind of balk at the things you're talking about today and give some pushback, what that really indicates is my heart is out of sync with the Lord. And if you sense that in your heart this morning, the answer isn't to continue off in a non-synced way. The answer is say, Lord, change me. Make my heart more like yours. So, impossible love. And I say impossible only from the human standpoint, because know this, Jesus never asks us to do anything that he won't give us the ability to do. Amen. All right, so let's look at Luke 6, verse 27. We'll start there. Luke 6, verse 27. I'm just going to read through a portion of Scripture, and I'll come back and comment on a few. But I say unto you, which hear, not everybody hears. Jesus said several times in the Scripture, you who have ears to hear, listen. And what it means is there are times that we can hear things, but for whatever reason, we block them out, or they're uncomfortable and we don't want to hear them. But he's saying this word to his disciples who were following him, but he's coming now to where he's really asking us to do some things that are impossible. And he says, I want you to hear me. Those of you who hear me, don't you want to be a listener and a hearer of the words of Jesus and not let it just fall on deaf ears? That's who he's talking to. And it's important that he raises that first, because he's going to next say something that if you're listening, if you're really listening, it's going to blow your mind, because he says, love your enemies. And I'll comment in a little bit. Love your enemies, plural. How many here have more than one enemy? We probably do. And he says, love your enemies. Then he said, do good to those who hate you. And then he says, bless those who curse you. And the word bless means to speak well of them. Speak well of the people who curse you. And then he said, pray for those who despitefully use you. Not just use you, but who despitefully use you. Unto him who smites, I'm reading this in the King James, so some of these words might not make sense, but I'll try to say something that makes sense to you. Unto him who basically slaps you on one cheek, offer the other. It seems impossible, doesn't it? To him who takes away your cloak, forbid him not to take your coat also. Give to every man who asks of you. And of him that takes away your goods, ask them not again. As you would that men should do to you, in other words, what he's saying there, the same way that you want people to treat you, do the same to them. How many of you want people to hate you? How many of you want people to curse you? How many of you want people to steal from you? How many of you, that's what he's saying. The same way that you want people to treat you, you do the same. But he's really asking us to be proactive. He's asking us to go first. It's easy to sit back, in your couch or whatever you have at home there and say, well, as soon as that person starts showing kindness to me, then I'll show kindness to them. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying, you be first. Even if they hate you, even if they curse you, even if they despitefully use you. This is called impossible love today. But it's not impossible with the Lord. Amen? Well, then he goes on to say something that I think it blows my mind. For, he said, if you love those who love you, and I'm going to say, this is my interpretation, that's no big deal. He says, what thank have you? Big deal. Big deal to love somebody who loves you. That's nothing. Everybody does that. And if that is all that we can muster up as a man or a woman of God, to just love those who love us, Jesus says, what thank is that? What good is that? And then he goes on to say, for sinners also love those that love them. No big deal. Anybody in the world can love somebody who loves them. But to love your enemies is a big difference. And that's what he's calling his disciples to. To be different than just how everybody in the world can do it. To go above and beyond that. He said, if you do good to those who do good to you, what thank have you? Even sinners do the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. So love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And you shall be the children of the highest. For he, God, the Father, the highest, he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Read that again. What did he say? He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. How many of you know that when you were evil, or if you're still evil, he's kind to you? You know, when a rain comes down from heaven, and if you're evil, it still rains in your backyard. If you're evil, he still waters your garden. If you're evil, he still lets his sun shine on your house. And it makes your flowers grow. And he gives you food. He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. That's our God. And then he says this amazing statement, which to me is not only a calling, but it offers me great hope to step outside of just loving those who love me, or giving those to those who can give in return. He says, be you therefore merciful, just as your Father is merciful. So the calling here from Jesus for those who will hear is to be like him. Not that we'll ever be God, it's not that at all, but in our relationships and how we carry out our relationships with one another, that we would reflect the way he is. To be merciful as he is merciful. And to be able to do that, to be able to step outside of just my humanness and how I would typically respond, like if you slap me on the cheek, I'm going to slap you on the cheek. Or if you steal from me, I'm going to steal from you. Or I'm going to take an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. And we, most of us, have revenge and vengeance in our hearts whenever anybody hates us or abuses us or spitefully uses us or curses us. The human tendency is to strike back. And he says, no, listen, I want you to be like me. And so he calls us to this, what I call an impossible love. Because it really goes, it supersedes anything that I could ever do as a person. How can I love people who hate me? How can I pray for those who despitefully use me? How can I speak well of those who curse me? And so we'll talk about that here this morning. Those who have ears to hear. There's a great scripture in Isaiah 30, verse 20 through 21. And here's what it says. Though the Lord will give you the bread of adversity and waters of affliction, yet your teacher, and he has a capital T here, your teacher. And who is our teacher? It is the Lord. It is the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God that Jesus said, when I go away, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he will teach you all things. He will remind you of the things that I've said. He will show you things to come. And so I want you to know that as you walk through life, you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and you walk through life, you have the teacher with you all the time. Everywhere you go, the teacher is there. Isn't that awesome? You don't have to go to the classroom to talk to the teacher. He goes with you to work. He goes with you to school. When you're driving your car down the road, the teacher is there with you because the teacher is the Holy Spirit. I love that. And even though you're going through what he calls a bread of adversity or waters of affliction, yet your teacher, capital T, will not hide himself anymore. Your eyes will see your teacher, capital T, and your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Isn't that awesome? That's the teacher. And what you're going to hear, and now after you hear this message today, this morning, you are all now under a new obligation. Because tomorrow, when you run into that person who hates you, the teacher is going to say, do good. And tomorrow, or maybe even this afternoon, when that person comes up and curses you, the teacher will be there. And if you have ears to hear, he's going to say to you, speak well of them. You're not off the hook anymore. Maybe before today you were, no longer. The teacher is there. And when he says, this is the way, walk in it when you turn to the right or turn to the left. Thank the Lord for this ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life to remind us, to keep us on his path. My question to us is, do we have ears to hear? Are we really hearing what he's saying? Or do we simply hear what we want to hear? The next thing is, he tells us to love your enemy. He doesn't tell us just to love. It's easy to love. I mean, most of us love things. We love pizza. We love children. We love, you know, a good movie. We love our wife. We love our family. I mean, love is just part of the human experience. But to love an enemy is supernatural. It's miraculous. It is something of the Spirit of God. The Bible says that while we were enemies, he loved us. Do you know, maybe you don't realize this because we're really up on ourselves for the most part, that we were enemies of God at one time. Even if you went to church, if you went to church as a child, but you weren't a born-again Christian, you were an enemy of God. And you were thinking, well, I'm doing all these good things. Nope, you're an enemy of God. Until you surrender to Jesus Christ, you're his enemy. And you got to come and say, I surrender. Just like as if you were in an army battlefield and you're the enemy and they got the guns at you and you say, I'm dropping my weapons, I surrender. Then you are the friend of God. Till then, we're enemies of his. But Jesus calls us to love our enemies. And I mentioned earlier that is a plural word, meaning there's a possibility and likelihood that we have more than one. Now, three ways he tells us to do that, and they're listed here in the scripture, and I want to talk just a minute about each of those. One, he says, do good to them. There's a scripture in Romans chapter 12, verse 17. I want to read and think about this idea of doing good to those who hate us. And if you want to read a story in your own time, hang on a minute. I got a bird in my pocket. It's got to be a telemarketer. I mean, I think everybody knows I'm down at church here today. All right, that's weird. All right. A great story you can read in, on your own is the life of Joseph. Joseph is a guy to me that just embodied what we're talking about today, where he was abused and sold off by his brothers, and yet his heart was to love. Love those who hated him. But it says in Romans chapter 12, do not repay, I'm in verse 17, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. And if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, because sometimes in a relationship, to really make it whole again, it takes two people. But he says, at least as much as it depends upon you, we're responsible for our own actions. I'm not responsible for someone else's. So as much as it depends on me, live at peace with everyone. And then he says, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, so let me talk about this for a minute. The responsibility for revenge rests solely with the Lord. He says, it is mine to avenge. That's not our responsibility. And if we understand that it is the Lord's to repay, it is His to bring accountability, it is His to bring vengeance, we can step away from revenge. We can step back from it and actually do what He says. We can actually love our enemy because it's not up to me to mete out his payment. That's the Lord's doing. And how many of you know He can do a much better job than we ever could? The Lord takes care of that. He takes care of all the accounts. And so if we can understand that God is the one who takes vengeance, I can remove myself from that mentality and be free to serve my enemy. And so he says here, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. So on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, what do? We feed him. We meet their need. We love them. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, and in doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. And then he says in verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You have one option. You have two options in your life, every human being sitting in this room today. One is you can be overcome by evil. And it's, when I hear this, I just think of an ocean wave coming and sweeping over me. And we live in a fallen world, and there are evil things that happen, and there are bad things that happen. And I can guarantee you, just because you're still alive on the planet here, there's going to come a time in your life, if it's not there already, you're going to experience these kinds of things. You're going to experience enemies and people who use you and people who hate you and people who curse you and people who speak evil of you. And you have the option to either be overcome by evil, and you've seen this maybe in other people's lives, maybe it's part of your life, and you get bitter and you get angry and you isolate yourself and you cut yourself off from society. You don't want anything to do with people. Or the other option is to overcome evil with good. Which would you rather be, an overcome or an overcomer? I want to be an overcomer. And so I can stand here and experience the hardships of life and be overcome and angry and bitter and mean, or I can say, you know what, I'm going to be an overcomer and I'm going to start doing good to those who hate me. I'm going to start using the things that God has put in my heart for good. And I'm going to bless those who curse me. And all these things we talked about. I'm going to be proactive. I'm going to step forward. I'm not going to let that wave sweep me over. And every human being has to make that choice. Because every one of us experienced these things at some point in our life. Bless those. This is mentioned again and again in the scripture. Romans 12, 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless, do not curse. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 12. Paul says, we worked hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. And he says, we have become the scum of the earth, the garbage of the world, right up to this moment. Isn't that a what a statement is that? We have become the scum of the earth, the garbage of the world. That's how people looked at them. Look at how our lives, you know how much our lives have been affected positively by the Apostle Paul? He was a man who was faithful to the Lord. He walked with Jesus. He served the Lord. The Lord used him to write most of the New Testament. And today, when you read the New Testament, and God blesses your life with it and changes your life, and the Holy Spirit uses that to change you, it's because of this man, the Apostle Paul, when he was slandered, blessed. When he was put down, he didn't jump back. He was a man who overcame evil with good. And your life will bless so many people if you can be an overcomer rather than be overcome. There are too many people in the world today that are overcome by evil, and they're basically sidelined and washed to the side. Jesus is calling us to overcome evil with good. Do you guys realize that Jesus Christ was spoken against many, many times? You know who Jesus Christ is? Jesus Christ is God Almighty. Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. Jesus Christ is the one who made us and loved us. And yet people said to him, you're a wine bibber. You're a drunkard. You're a glutton. People said to him, you're demon-possessed. People said to him, you're a liar. You know what Jesus said? I'm going to call down fire from heaven. He didn't say that, did he? He said, you can say anything you want about me, just don't say it about the Holy Spirit. You know, me, no problem. Say what you want to say. He's the creator. To me, it's amazing that our creator stood in the face of his creation. He could have stamped out with his thumb. He could have called 12,000 legions of angels, and he let them call him names. We're bigger than this. We don't have to. We can walk in this same kind of impossible love because he lives inside of me. He does, by his Spirit. We can pray for them, he said. Pray for those who use you. How do you pray for somebody? Well, here's some ideas I wrote down. Pray that God would grant them repentance to acknowledge the truth. Pray for their salvation if they're not saved. Pray that God would give them understanding and wisdom concerning whatever issue they're fighting about. Pray for a breakthrough in your relationship. If there's somebody you can't seem to really get through the wall and you just seem to always be hitting this wall in this relationship, pray for a breakthrough in that relationship. Pray for their forgiveness. You know, Jesus hung on a cross and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Stephen did the same thing. He was the first martyr, the one that they were throwing stones at. And he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Why? Because he had this impossible love working in his heart. We can forgive people. It may seem impossible, but that's only if we look at it with human reason. Next thing is, he calls us to overlook an offense. He said, if somebody smites you on the cheek, give them the other also. This is basically an insult. I mean, think of it like, we use a term, well, I got slapped, they slapped me in the face. You know, we use that term in the same way. It's an insult, a slap in the face. And Jesus is saying, look, hey, if somebody insults you, you can take another one. If somebody insults you, you don't have to give them an insult back. And you don't have to run away and hide for fear of being hurt again. If someone insults you, you can take it again. How many can take it again? You can at least take two. Take two insults before you go ballistic. But this is the impossible love that he says. If someone slaps you on the cheek, you can give them the other. It's not a big deal. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:11. Listen to this. It's an amazing scripture. A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory. It is to your glory to overlook an offense. Isn't that amazing? How many want that as part of your resume? It is to my glory to overlook an offense. You might say, it is my glory to win the race in our school. It is my glory to hit a home run on the super or on the baseball game. It's my glory to catch the ball in the Super Bowl. It is my glory. Jesus said, it is my glory if I can overlook an offense. And you're going to have an opportunity, maybe even this week, maybe even today, to have something to your glory, and that is, let it roll off. It doesn't mean anything. In the big picture, the eternal picture of God, this slap in the face, this small offense, is nothing. And it's not worth you being overcome by evil. Isn't that good? What if someone takes away your cloak? There's a story in the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, which I want to read a few portions of here, where the church there was, it was a very problematic church. A lot of interpersonal problems were going on there. And one of the things that was happening is people were pursuing lawsuits with one another. You've done wrong to me, I'm going to take you to court and get it back. And there were these lawsuits that were taking place. And so Paul begins to address this way. He says, therefore, if you have disputes, and I'm reading 1 Corinthians 6, verse 4, if you have disputes about such matters, do you ask for a ruling from those whose way of life is scorned in the church? I say this to shame you. Is it possible that there is nobody among you wise enough to judge a dispute between believers? What he's really saying there is, in the church, there ought to be some people with enough wisdom to sit down for any dispute and find a solution. Brothers and sisters in the Lord should not be taking each other to court. We want to exact out of somebody something that we feel we deserve. I'm taking that back. I'm taking this back. There's a different heart the Lord calls us to here. He said the very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you have been completely defeated already. That's pretty powerful scripture there. And then he says this, which is a very amazing question. And it goes right to the root of our feeling we need to somehow be justified in this. He says, why not rather be wronged? How many of you know that when someone's taken something from you and somebody walks up to you and says, why not rather be wronged? That's really the thing you don't want to hear at that time. Because you feel you've already been wronged and you're here to make it right, right? But he's saying, why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? What he's saying is there's a higher purpose here than just you getting what you deserve. And the higher purpose is that God's called us into a relationship. He's called us into his family. And here we are, brothers and sisters in Christ, in the same family, hating one another, fighting one another, taking each other to court because I feel like you have something that belongs to me. And he's saying to that person who has that heart, why not just forget about it? Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? It is to your glory to overlook an offense. It is. It is to your glory. He said, instead, you yourselves cheat and do wrong, and you do this to your brothers and sisters. That's an amazing scripture, and it's very challenging to us. The next thing he talks about is what we call the golden rule. And that's in verse 31 of Luke 6. As you would that men should do to you, do also to them likewise. And again, I just want to say he's calling us to be proactive in this. To be first, to step out. I want to be treated in a certain way, so that's how I'm going to start treating everybody else around me. I'm going to set the tone. At my workplace, in my family, in my school, in my neighborhood, I'm going to be the one who sets the tone for for how the people react to one another. And then he lays out these things, which to me are very convicting. For if you love those who love you, why do you think that's such a big deal? Can you see how that's, it's almost like a comical thing he's saying there, but he's basically saying, look, I'm calling you to be above this, to be above the typical response of a human being. It's an impossible kind of love, but you're able to do it because my Spirit dwells inside of you. Now, you and me, as brothers and sisters of the Lord, we have an option. We can spend the rest of our life loving the way the world loves, loving the way a sinner loves, or loving the way God loves. That's really what he's saying to us here. And you can spend the next 30, 40, 50 years of your life, however long the Lord leaves you on this planet, and say, you know what, I'm just going to love those that love me, and those who mistreat me, I'm writing them off. And those who curse me, I'm going to curse them back. And those who take from me, I'm going to slap them in the face. Or you know, whatever vengeance we take. Or we can say, Lord, I want to be an overcomer. I want to overcome evil with good. And I want to be a person who loves with your love. I want to be able to move beyond this typical way of loving that we see all around us. I want to be a person who reflects the life of Jesus Christ in my relationships. And then, finally, he calls us to what I think are some of the motivations behind this higher love. And he says something funny here. He says, love your enemies and do good. Listen to this, hoping for nothing again, and your reward will be great. So it looks like it's a contradiction in a way, doesn't it? Hoping for nothing, but there's a reward. So are we hoping for nothing, or are we hoping for a reward? Which are you looking for? Are you looking for nothing, or are you looking for a reward? Well, it's both. Because we're looking for nothing. I'm not expecting anything back from anybody, but I do want the reward that comes from the Lord. And it's probably going to be something that'll blow your mind. I'm not even sure what it even looks like. But I want one. or a couple of them. Whatever it is. He said, if you'll do what I'm calling you to do here, your reward will be great. I know, I'm telling you, that just stirs up the childhood in every one of us. You know, when someone says, there's a great present waiting for you for Christmas. Or, hey, your birthday's coming, and I got a great present for you. Or your wife calls you at work and says, there's a reward waiting when you get home. Or your kids say, Daddy, we made something for you at school today, and there's a reward waiting for you when you get home. And doesn't that stir up something inside like, well, I just can't wait? Well, Jesus says, if you do this, if you do what I'm asking you to do here, your reward will be great. I want that. I hope you want that. I hope you want that bad enough that you're not looking for what you can gain here. And so he says, I'm asking you to do this, hoping for nothing, but looking for that reward. And then he says, you will be children of the highest. What is he saying here? I believe what he's saying is, you're going to be like a chip off the old block. You can either be like everybody else out there, just loving those that love you, or you can be children of the highest. When people see you, it's like, wow, this is a person who's walking with the Lord. This is a person whose life is now reflecting Christ. You know, who could love an enemy? Who could pray for someone who despitefully uses? Who could speak well of those who curse? It's the children of the highest. And so what he's saying to us, he's saying, step up a little higher. Be my follower. Be a follower of Jesus. Let the mercy of God really work through your life. Be a child of the highest. It's a high calling. But he never said it would be easy to follow him. But those of us who hear, this stuff resonates in our heart, and we say, Lord, I want to do this. And if right now you're having a hard time thinking about how you could ever step into some of these things, and just ask him to change me. And he says here, for God is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. Well, I'd like you to stand with me. We're going to close in prayer. As we do, I just want you to ask yourself the question, what is it that would keep me from loving in this way? What is it that keeps me from loving this way? You know, when the Lord brings these things to our attention, it's not to condemn us. Amen. I like it when I heard a guy say this one time, so it's not, I mean, I didn't think this up, but I think it's a cool illustration. He says, if you fall flat on your face, you're at least walking forward. So it's okay. You know, and you might look at yourself today and say, wow, man, I'm hearing all these things. I've never done this before, or I've failed at this so many times. That's okay. We're not talking about what you did in the past. We're talking about what you're going to do tomorrow. And tomorrow, what I'm hoping is you're going to hear the teacher, the big T teacher, his voice behind you saying, it's time to do good, my brother. It's time to speak well of that person, my sister. You heard the word. You're responsible for it now. Let's walk in it. And the Lord will encourage you. And you might tomorrow, you know, tomorrow someone's going to curse you and you're going to curse them back. And what's going to happen is, the teacher is going to say, hey, come on, we can do this. You don't have to be like everybody else. I want you to be like me. My spirit's there inside of you. And see, the Lord will encourage you in this. The real question is do you want to be this kind of a follower? That's the question. And if you do, you'll grow and you'll learn and you may stumble along the way, but you know what? You're going to progress in this. In a year from now, people are going to see more of Christ in your life. They'll see more of Jesus because of the way you're responding and reacting and treating people. It's just an amazing thing. The Lord is so gracious to us. And I believe he wants to help us. So my prayer for all of us here this morning is that we would say, Lord, whatever it is that keeps me back, I want to remove that from my heart. I think... we talked the other night here at one of the classes about what is it that really keeps us from loving people in this manner. And you know what it really boils down to? It boils down to that we have adopted humanistic thinking about life. When I say humanistic, I mean it comes from human reasoning versus the scripture. Because human reasoning is almost like anti everything I said to you today. But if that's what you build your life on, if you build your life on just human reasoning, it's building on sand. Amen. Jesus said, if you want to build on a solid rock, you listen to what I teach and do what I say. Then it's solid. So part of our growth in the Lord is basically to cast down those imaginations, all those thoughts that exalt above the knowledge of the Lord, and to have our minds renewed. Renew my mind, Lord. I'm thinking I should take vengeance here. I'm thinking I shouldn't pray for this person. I'm thinking I should curse that person. But I see your word is differently, so renew my mind, Lord. Change me. So, Father, I ask you to work in all of our hearts. Lord, you call us to what seems to be an impossible kind of love. But I know that you would never ask us to do something that you would not empower us to walk in. And so this morning, I'm asking personally, and I'm asking for this body of people, Lord God, that you would help all of us long to really hear you, to hear what you're saying, to yield our hearts to this. And as we have opportunity, we would begin to step into these small ways to be proactive, to be doing good, to pray, to speak well of people. Father, enable us to overlook offenses to our glory. And Lord, I pray that most of all of our lives would reflect that we are children of the highest. Do that work in us, I ask, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you're here this morning, you have a need for prayer, I'd like to have you come up. If you want some further prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you and encourage you. And God bless you. Take some time to share your love with one another and meet somebody you don't know.